Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the release of comments made at a fundraiser that exposed Mitt Romney's real attitude towards voters. Tax expert, economist, and investigative journalist James Henry joins us to discuss Romney's contention that 47% of Americans don't pay income taxes and won't take personal responsibility and care for their lives. James Henry was the lead researcher on the Tax Justice Network's recent report, The Price of Offshore Revisited, which reveals how the likes of Mitt Romney hide their money abroad to avoid paying taxes. Then, following Romney's disdainful remarks that reveal contempt for almost half of America's citizens, we will look into the extent to which Mitt appears to be outdoing his running mate, Paul Ryan, in channeling Ayn Rand. Gary Weiss, an award-winning investigative reporter for Business Week and author of Ayn Rand's Nation, The Hidden Struggle for America's Soul, joins us to discuss the beleaguered makers who have risen above the worthless masses of takers, those who lack the initiative to better themselves and prefer to mooch off the successful of the world upon whose shoulders rests the burden of enterprise that subsidizes these ungrateful dependents. Then finally, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Hedrick Smith joins us to discuss his latest book, Who Stole the American Dream? We will examine the shift in the last few decades in which a greater and greater percentage of the nation's wealth has been concentrated in the hands of fewer and fewer of the ultra-wealthy, while the American dream has become more difficult for the middle class and impossible for working Americans to attain. Joining us now is James Henry, an economist, lawyer, and investigative journalist, and former chief economist at McKinsey & Company. He is an Edward R. Murrow Fellow at Tufts University's Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy and Inspire Fellow at its Institute for Global Leadership. He was the lead researcher on the Tax Justice Network's recent report, The Price of Offshore Revisited. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Henry.
Well, you're very welcome. Glad to be here.
And what do you make of this idea that came out of a surreptitiously recorded fundraising pitch, I guess, that Mitt Romney was making back in May at a private residence of a hedge fund titan. And he basically says that 47%, he actually sort of confused the 47% who support Obama and the 47% who don't pay their taxes. But I'm surprised that given Mitt Romney's reluctance to reveal his own taxes, why that hasn't become a part of the dialogue at the moment. The pot's calling the kettle black, you know, saying 47% of people don't pay their taxes, and yet he won't reveal whether or not he's paid his taxes.
Well, first of all, he's just wrong about the numbers. Of the so-called 47%, about 61% of those people are paying federal payroll taxes, to the tune of at least 15% of the first $100,000. That's not something that Romney pays, because he's receiving his income in the form of carried interest in offshore companies that is not subject to payroll tax. Another 10%, or I guess 22% of the 47%, are elderly people who don't owe any income tax. And then we're down to about 7% of the population, or 15% of the 47, who are making too little income, kind of working poor. And, you know, up until the very recent period, Republicans and Democrats alike were supporting the tax incentives that were designed to lift people out of poverty. Last year, those incentives lifted about 9.2 million over the poverty line. So those tax incentives are really, to blame those people for being dependent when they're actually going to work and earning a living, getting these tax credits as a reward is really spurious. So everybody, I think, whether you're Republican or Democrat, is a little bit taken aback by this kind of outrageous us-against-them rhetoric. It's hard to imagine someone like Ronald Reagan ever decrying, talking in such heartless terms about the poor. And it's almost a parody, I think, of the heartless millionaire from the country club. So from that standpoint, this demonization is just wrong.
Well, there's been this kind of unreality in government for some time vis-a-vis revenues and the alacrity with which governments want to, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, but in particular Republicans want to keep cutting taxes. Just to go back in history here and get a context here, the individual income tax has consistently provided nearly half of the total federal revenue since the 1950s. But other sources have gone up and down. Excise taxes used to bring in 19% of total revenues in the 1950s, but today it's about 3%. The share of revenues coming from corporate income tax has dropped from about one-third in the early 1950s to less than a tenth in 2010. By contrast, payroll taxes provided two-fifths of revenues in 2010 and four times its share of the early 1950s, which was about one-tenth of government revenues.
Right. Well, I think the real fact is that the federal income tax, the federal government, is now a declining share of the total government sector. And so the appropriate measure is to look at the total tax burden. Federal income taxes are only about 27% of that. So when you add in state and local taxes, which are very regressive, excise taxes, sales taxes, property taxes, and you look at the distribution of the total tax burden across income class, you find, the income tax is, the tax burden we don't have a progressive tax system anymore. The top 1% generates about 21% of money income, excluding capital gains and excluding anything they're hiding offshore, and I can talk about that in a minute. They are responsible for about 22% of total tax revenue. So that's roughly proportional to their total tax. They pay an average tax rate of about 18.8% of their income, and that's less than many working people do on who are withheld against. The idea that the truly rich are being savaged by our tax system and helping these sort of dependents who are not paying any taxes is just a myth. Everyone in this country is paying unavoidable taxes, and the total tax burden is actually distributed in a regressive way.
So let's try and get a comparison then, James Henry, between what Mitt Romney has said somewhat disdainfully about the 47%. And again, I think he's confusing the people who are voting for Obama with the people who don't pay federal income tax. In fact, 47% was closer to what McCain got in the last election. But
If you actually look at the distribution of the non-payers of federal income tax by state, you find that a lot of these people are actually living in the Red Belt down, in Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi. Mississippi, 45% of the adult population are non-filers. So Texas, the number is 39%. A great number of his supporters are actually being sort of demonized by this outrageous statement. So, I just found it unfathomable and very unpolitic. Obviously, he didn't know that he was being recorded, but he's been going around the country saying that he really wants to. He's not worried about protecting the rich; they can protect themselves. He's really interested in helping the 90% of Americans who are not wealthy, and this just belies that whole message.
Well, it also feels like, if this is what he's saying in private, the assumption is that this is what he really feels as opposed to what he says in public. I mean, that's just the way people are, isn't it? They're much more candid when they know nobody's recording them.
Well, this wasn't really in private. It was, it was a speech to a particular audience. I think he was playing to that particular audience. And, one of the unattractive things about Romney is that he kind of bends his message to the audience, this stuff is right out of, the dog on the roof.
Right.
It makes absolutely no sense to any economist who takes a look at it. I mean, I would love to see, a bright-minded, good-hearted conservative come in and make the case, against the Obama administration's, misguided economic programs. There are mistakes that Obama's made, and he should have been able to hold him responsible for that. Maybe, you know, show us how certain kinds of tax reforms would have been, stimulated jobs. But that's not what we have here. We have a fellow who's really ought to go back to the country club bar.
Well, let's try and get, though, an assessment here of what the federal government is denied in terms of revenue from the 47% that Mitt Romney says don't pay federal income taxes. But if you pointed out, they pay far more regressive state and local taxes, and every time they pump gas, they pay, every time they buy food, they pay, et cetera, et cetera. So compare that to that recent study that you did, The Price of Offshore Revisited, where you discovered that there are between $21 trillion and $32 trillion of funds hidden abroad. Now, this is not all by wealthy Americans. This is by the global elite and criminals and kleptocrats, etc. But I'd like to get a sense of how much more revenue the government could be getting out of the 47% versus the wealthy who are hiding their money.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, our study of offshore havens and the financial wealth there indicated that there's a heck of a lot of it. Most of it belongs to the top 0.1% of the income distribution. And so while we don't have direct estimates of how much of that comes to the United States, we're sure that it's north of $1 trillion that's parked offshore. We just had the Birkenfeld case where the IRS whistleblower was awarded $104 million, which was 2% of the collections for turning in the wealthy American clients of the Swiss bank UBS. So, that's just one indicator. We have, quite a bit of offshore money. The best estimates we have for U.S. tax evasion are that the offshore accounts from Americans may be causing revenue loss of about $100 billion, or $100 to $150 billion of revenue per year, and that compares with the amount of total tax that the top 1% is paying of about $320 billion. So it's a substantial number. The Obama plan, I believe, would raise taxes on this upper-class group that's making incomes of more than a million. That's roughly the 1.2 million people in that income category. It would raise their tax rate from about 18% on average to about 30%, and that would also generate another $200 billion. So if we started enforcing the tax code more effectively and also raised the marginal rates back where they were in the 60s and 70s, I think we could make a big difference here.
Well, what about going after corporate taxes? I mean, the corporate taxes are allegedly 35%, and they're considered high by global standards, but the IRS doesn't collect, do they, by and large?
No, the fact is that there are, the effective, average effective corporate tax rate for the federal income tax in the United States is only about 12%, and many major multinationals have arranged their affairs so that they're paying far less. There's 30 corporations that paid an average of zero income tax in the last 4 years, including such well-known names as General Electric and Pfizer and Google. Basically, they've made extraordinary use of the transfer of intellectual property, brands, and software to offshore havens, and then paying themselves royalties, parking profits offshore, and then pleading for a tax cut on repatriated income profits. So the effective contribution of the federal income tax, corporate income tax, to the overall federal budget is at an all-time low. It's down below 10% of total federal tax revenues. And this is largely due to the fact that major companies have stopped paying federal income tax.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to find out here, James Henry, is that how much, it can make the comparison between how much those that are going to can afford to pay taxes and aren't paying a taxes, either hiding their money or avoiding it, or and that includes wealthy individuals and corporations, vis-a-vis the 47% of 7% of whom are just incredibly poor, and then most of them are elderly, veterans, or whatever, who simply have either paid taxes or don't need to. So I'm just trying to get a sense of why you're beating up on one group of people who can't afford it, and letting another group who can afford it off scot-free.
Well, that's right. I mean, the bottom half of the income distribution generates, roughly 15% of total income, and they pay about 11% of total tax right now. So there's not a whole lot of more you could do equitably to raise revenue from those people anyway. In fact, they are, if anything, deserving more incentives and more of a progressive system, more of a tax break. They have a hard time avoiding sales taxes.
Sure. Well, we're getting a little interference here, so I thank you so much for joining us, James Henry.
You're quite welcome. Yep.
Again, I've been speaking with James Henry, an economist, lawyer, and investigative journalist, and former chief economist at McKinsey & Company. He is an Edward R. Murrow Fellow at the Tufts University Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy and Inspire Fellow at its Institute for Global Leadership. He was the lead researcher on the Tax Justice Network's recent report, The Price of Offshore Revisited. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about how Mitt Romney appears to be outdoing Paul Ryan in channeling Ayn Rand.
Street Hammer Time.